Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. And I'm having a conversation. This is what we're just having a light conversation, L-I-G-H-T. We're not trying to break any records. We're not trying to have these magical ways to be able to talk about things, but to really understand that you're just joining. We're just having a conversation,
right?
And we're looking at what God's perspective, or trying to find God's perspective through His Word about what's going on. Because as we're walking through this conversation, it was just discovered yesterday, as you might see on the VFN Torch, that which led me to what we're going to talk about today. That the back of the book, the back of the Roles for Radicals,
yeah,
it dedicates the book to President Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton.
Oh my goodness!
Which led us to say, "Hey, God's leading us onto something here. We need to find out what's up, right?"
Right.
As the Chicago Sun-Times says, that the Alinsky techniques and teachings influence generations of community and labor—that's the unions,
mm-hmm,
labor organizers, including church-based groups, hiring a young Barack Obama to work on Chicago South Side in the 1980s. Alinsky impressed a young Hillary Clinton, who was growing up in Park Ridge at the time. Alinsky was a director of the Industrial Area Foundation in Chicago. They're in the same family.
Oh my goodness.
Like, oh my goodness.
Wow.
So we're going to talk about, as we bring this in, you know, what is the biblical perspective? What's really going on? Is the world being organized? Are people in the world using tips from Lucifer? Because he dedicates his book, the one that they put on the back cover to recognize the president and the secretary, former Secretary of State, and one that will be running for president coming up, by the way,
mm-hmm,
reportedly, that the front's dedicated to Lucifer and the back is dedicated to those guys.
You know? Oh my goodness.
And it's like, you know, if you want to follow Lucifer, you know, if you want to follow darkness, and that's one thing about the church needs to wake up and get a perspective. If somebody's wanting to follow darkness, read not just John 3:16, read all of John chapter 3, when Jesus says, listen, the verdict's in. You love darkness. That's what you wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And just honor people's decision to move on. That if you start trying to force somebody's behavior, you're just doing the same thing. You're using darkness to change darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about that. What should be our responses to that? And in that, we're going to find out, as we begin to talk, is that the ties between Alinsky, you know, the one that gives shout out and dedicates his book to the first one that did what he did, Lucifer.
Right.
And the connection between Barack Obama, and then became Senator Obama, and then President Obama,
mm-hmm,
and Hillary Clinton, and the connection and their relationships and the tips for community organizing, and how that not only did they know each other, but our president was hired by Saul Alinsky.
Oh, wow.
He was hired by him.
Oh my God.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, who hasn't been hired by a boss that you just think, you know, even though I'm working here, I am not in agreement,
all right,
with what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
This is like my paycheck. I'm just going to honor my boss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just because you work for somebody does not necessarily mean. Although when you understand community organizing, you really have to be in agreement with what's going on. Mm-hmm. Because when I was a community organizer, what happened was what repelled me from it was the Spirit of God in me when I saw that they were that particular aspect about coming out of Berkeley and, mm-hmm, Pacific Institute for Community Organizing, that they were organizing like they did for Jesus and Barabbas.
Right.
You know, they were using the church to fulfill darkness. And,
oh, wow.
And so I just, you know, I said, no, I can't have a part of this. And I remember talking to Brother John Kilpatrick, and he and I was working in ministry with him then, and thinking like, this is not good. Yeah, I didn't have as much wisdom as I have now. Not that I have any, but the Lord's really revealed more to me since then. But not only did he work for him, we'll be talking about this, but he taught Alinsky 101.
Mm-hmm.
He actually taught the principles that we're talking about. He taught them. Our president, and he wasn't president then. He was just a regular citizen like all of us, and he was working for Saul Alinsky, and he agreed with him so much, so it appears, that he says, man, I really like, I'm just kind of thinking, I like it so much, I just want to teach people the Alinsky 101 practices.
Right.
And so, okay. And you have to, if you go back and you study, and there's not enough time left really to study about everything, that good things come from good intentions. But sometimes, you know, what the devil means for evil, God turns it around for good. So you can't confuse the fact that just because it turned out good, that the methodology of Joseph's brothers was right. You know what I'm saying? Because they were organizing against Joseph, and they thought, well, you know, he's favorite and he's getting all the benefits around here. And besides, he's got the coat project going on, you know, the coat of many colors. Right. So they organized against him, and that was evil. What happened? Threw him in a pit, tried to kill him, sold him into slavery. And this is what Joseph says, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. So you have to understand, be careful that you don't just buy in as Christians that we say, hey, this because Joseph ended up at leadership, second in charge at in Egypt, helping God's people out, that everything that happened was righteous.
Right.
It's just evil folks thought they were in control, but God allowed it to happen to be able to accomplish his goals. In other words, they still were evil. Mm-hmm. So evil, when they saw Joseph, they fell down. And they realize, I know I was a community organizer. I know I organized against you, and we're the ones that got you here and pushed you out of the country and pushed you out of our family, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so we're going to be talking about that. And so good things can come out of people who have evil intentions.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to say, hey, if somebody had wrong motives and they started trying to organize something as a Christian, and we're talking about from a light perspective, L-I-G-H-T, not we're talking about the world at all. We're just talking about as our viewpoints, that if this particular lady needed surgery, for example, and somebody held a knife at somebody's throat and said, you're going to give her surgery, and then they go and give this woman surgery that she needs to get, you know what I'm saying? It's like, the fact that she got surgery is a very good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this assault that you just committed on the person that held a knife at their throat,
right,
that's not good.
Right.
So you can divide the two. You could say, what you meant for evil, God allowed to work out for good.
Mm-hmm.
That's important, because you got to be able to divide the two, because quite often people look at the means justifies the end. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole, when you look at it, there's a whole section dedicated to means and ends in his book. Any means, any ends, you know.
Right.
And it matters to us. And why does it matter? It matters to us, and we're going to be talking about this, that as Christians and as our Jewish brothers and sisters, it matters to us who's leading us, who we're choosing to lead us, and who is, and how they're leading us, and what their motives are. Because I don't know, there was an organized community against the Jews and Christians in Germany. We remember that?
Mm-hmm.
They were so good at organizing, they just kind of were able to just almost like sheep to a slaughter. We were able to organize the entire Jewish population almost into the ghetto, into a train, into a camp, into the showers, into the oven. I mean, it matters.
Right.
And if you didn't hear the entire speech of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu this week, you need to hear it. You can go to the VFN Torch and you can hear it, because it'll encourage you. It's an inspiring speech. And he's talking about vigilance. And it's like, okay, that's right. I'm just around so many Christian Americans who don't even think works or vigilance at all. They just think grace. And it's like, you know, grace is cool, but faith without works is dead. So, but when you hear that vigilance and see how God is blessing Israel, it just reminds you, oh yeah, we're going to have to do something. So, when we get back from this break, we're going to talk to you about, continue our conversation as we're learning together. What are the ties between all these guys? And what does it mean for us? And how does it relate spiritually? The end time spiritual battle that'll be in the air. So we're having this conversation about, and the book came in, I was reading a digital version of it. It's called Rules for Radicals. You know, Rules for Radicals, and it is dedicated to Lucifer in the front, and the back it's dedicated to Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton.
Wow.
So let's just go on this conversation. I'm just learning with you. There is no motive whatsoever. I know this motive. God loves President Barack Obama and God loves Hillary Clinton. And we're going to find out how much he loves us all. And it's for us, it's just, how do we respond to this? You know, you have different forms of government. You have different forms of mindset and political structures or whatever. But the church can coexist or exist in any of those environments because the kingdom of God for us is inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
So this is in no way political. It's just like that, you know, God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, right? Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So let's just find out what's happening here because this book is dedicated to Lucifer. And it mentions our president and the Secretary of State, the most traveled Secretary of State in the history, or at least reportedly,
mm-hmm.
you know, and potentially, reportedly, running for the next president. Mm-hmm. So you'll have, you know, one organizer for 8 years and another organizer for 8 years. So that would be 16 years for fundamental transformation based potentially on mm-hmm. Saul Alinsky's model of transformation, which is dedicated to Lucifer,
mm-hmm.
you know, or at least he just gives a shout out saying he was the first one that did what we did and he did it successful.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that crazy?
That is insane.
Yeah. And you're seeing, anyway, so let's just start the conversation again because we're going through tactics, but we're going to get to tactics, but I just got to tell, you know, talk about what was, you know, made known to me in my abiding time and just asking the Lord about these things. You know, why is this so important for a biblical view of this? Well, it needs, we need to have a biblical view of everything, the world and how we operate, because that is our constitution. So whether you're Chinese, whether you are Iraqi, whether you are Mexican, whether you're American or you're Canadian, those are different, you know, constitutions and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a constitution called the Bible.
Yes.
And that is our operating system. And so we cannot, and that's what, so we, that's what, so cool about the original founding documents and the Constitution of America, because it allows us to freely operate in the Constitution of God, the mm-hmm. church, the Bible.
Right.
And we can freely worship God while other people freely do or not do whatever they're going to do. But when we talked about, you know, Muslim Brotherhood 101 and radical Islam and that type of thing, and what they're wanting to do with their religious beliefs is to bring in the caliphate.
Mm-hmm.
And the caliphate is basically saying that their Quran, their book of belief, right. You know, ours is the Bible,
mm-hmm.
that should be the constitution of society.
Right.
You know, we're not saying, but, you know, we have to say, because we talked about this week, as the president of the Ethics of the Baptist Association just encouragingly said that, you know, we're Christian Americans, not American Christians. And he talked about that type of thing. He says, we've got to be the kingdom of God. And so we got to pull out in regards to how we're presenting that.
Mm-hmm.
But some people have mixed the two together. And I could see why God is wanting things polarized. So not pulverized, but polarized.
Right.
So that there's a contrast between those who are with him, following him, and those who aren't.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to be polarized the day that you're born again. That's why everything happens to you when you walk in the light,
mm-hmm.
Because darkness repels you in the context of that. If darkness is attracted to you, it's attracted to the darkness in you.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important for us to get a biblical perspective. So being tied to, friends with, working for, we're going to find out even writing about a thesis, a teaching about Alinsky, writing a thesis on Alinsky, we'll talk about, and organizing with Alinsky and being mentored by Alinsky, hired by Alinsky, and imitating Alinsky, a man who tips off his skills to who began it, Lucifer, and writes about it openly, to with a desire to fundamentally transform society. It matters to us.
Yeah.
It matters to us as Christians because, you see, as Christians, we are for Jesus Christ. We're for God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Lucifer, who was cast out of heaven,
mm-hmm.
who exalted himself, began to use his music to bring himself glory, and he actually organized one-third of the angels, God's creation, and tried to push God
mm-hmm.
to force God to allow him to get the glory because he was jealous of the paycheck. No, I meant the The house. No, I meant the praise. No, yeah. I meant the recognition. No, of the glory.
Mm-hmm.
All that.
Yeah.
That God was getting. So he wanted the glory. I mean, he's, you have to understand, it doesn't matter what you, you're not going to force God to do anything.
Mm-mm.
And of course, he found out. You know, he found out what happened was that when he started organizing, those that he, as the lead organizer, I'm just talking about Saul Alinsky, what he says now,
mm-hmm.
that he credits Lucifer. So I'm just telling you what Lucifer did. So he organized the angels in heaven, one third of them, not two thirds, one third of them, yeah. against God.
Yeah.
Against God.
Yeah.
And imagine that. But you think, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, when you think about it, in Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 5, he says that all authority is established by God, and those who rebel against it rebel against what God has established and bring judgment on themselves. He doesn't bear the sword for nothing. He's there to punish the wrongdoer. And he goes on and says, so in other words, it's not Peter that Ananias and Sapphira were coming against. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? It's not, when there's established authority, we have to be very, very careful. I mean, what is God saying? And we have to respond to the context of that. Even Nebuchadnezzar was was evil authority, but he was God's servant.
That's right.
To do his will. And so, and of course, Satan was blinded by a devil. Oh, wait a minute. He was blinded by himself.
Yeah.
And of course, I think the Lord just kind of winked and thumbed his finger a little bit, and all of a sudden, it's like, bam!
Mm-hmm.
He gets cast out of heaven. When I think about it, boom, and thrown down to the earth.
Mm-hmm.
That's major, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I saw Satan, and what happened was what even clarifies this, and we'll talk more about it, is this book is dedicated to Lucifer, so I just want to tell you what God thinks about Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
And that the disciples came back, and they're going to Jesus after the disciples were out ministering in Jesus' name, and the authority, we'll talk about that in a little bit, the authority that they were using in Jesus' name, all of a sudden these things that never happened before begin to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were probably thinking, or Jesus knows Lucifer's nature and the nature of sin, you know, man, we can control things. We have power. And then all of a sudden, out the middle of nowhere, Pat,
mm-hmm.
you would think, yeah, we're doing ministry here, Jesus. We're going out like you said. He says, I saw Satan cast down from heaven like lightning, right?
Yeah.
Like, anyway, Jesus, and what was he doing? He saw a way to get power. And now that God has entrusted somebody with a place of authority or with an influence or mm-hmm. a Nehemiah situation, or you're in a place of influence, or people follow you. Are you going to lead them to Christ, or are you going to lead them to you?
Mm. That's huge.
And so he immediately said, you know, let me give you a contrast here. You can take what I'm introducing to you, the kingdom, and you can do what Satan did with it, or you can take what I'm giving to you and bring people into my kingdom, and my kingdom can come into them.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gave immediate contrast right there. So in other words, this is not good when it's dedicated to Lucifer.
Mm-mm.
And so as a Christian, it's important for us to understand Satan not only hates God, God hates Satan. This whole thing is a battle between light and dark, good and evil, God and Satan. And we are what they're fighting over. And the question is, will we serve darkness or will we serve light? Will we leave darkness and follow Jesus, or will we love darkness and just follow Satan? Basically, mm-hmm. that's what it boils down to. Even Jesus himself was tempted before he started his ministry when he's in the wilderness, and Satan said, listen, if you will follow me, I will give you things and stuff and health care and benefits and packages and vacations and
mm-hmm.
houses and whatever. And he goes, no, I'm not going to bow down and worship you. And we talked about that already.
Mm-hmm.
So as Christians, it's important who we're choosing to follow, especially in America, because in America, it's government by the people and for the people. And God expects us. I mean, we're the ones, whether mm-hmm. we know it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God didn't say, well, we'll talk more about that another time. Secondly, as Christians, we're not called to manipulate, entice, use human wisdom, or to be persuasive with our words. We're called to be humble, but yet allow the presence and the power of God to come out of our life, where they look at us and they go, Man, look at Pat and Greg. God really uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That's what he says.
Oh, yeah.
Because they can see that it's him and not us. Mm-hmm. And so as Christians, it's important for us to realize we need to renounce. We need to renounce all those ways. Because you don't, anything that you gain by your own fleshly manipulation is going to be a stumbling block to you. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to let it go. Ask Abraham, ask Ishmael, mm-hmm. and ask or review the conversation that was had by Jacob at the United Nations this week. He's talking about Ishmael.
Yeah.
Today, Ishmael's still an issue, still a stumbling block. And so why does it matter? It matters because we need to have a light perspective of what's going on, because God's people destroy for lack of knowledge. This means we can potentially not be destroyed if we actually get knowledge. Mm-hmm. Above all things, what? Get knowledge.
Yeah.
And Ephesians 6:12 tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. And so understand it's a spiritual battle going on. So you can love the people and honor the people and honor people in authority who may be even using dark ways, but you can honor them. I like to think about, you know, Paul before Festus, that here's Paul in chains. He's wrongly arrested because of his faith. Mm-hmm. It was an organized effort by the church, by the people, quote, God that day, that mm-hmm. actually had him pushed in front of the secular government. And he's in chains, and he's just honoring King Festus there as he's talking to him. And then he begins to share with him the gospel. And Festus says, he almost convinced me. So spiritually speaking, you know, what are we wrestling against? What's coming against? Well, different aspects and attributes of Lucifer. You know, it all boils down to Lucifer's, you know, powers, principalities, and spiritual wickedness that works in his kingdom. Mm-hmm. Now, the kingdom of God is greater than Satan's kingdom. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that can come against the wisdom of God, not even the plans of man. But if you walk around with open doors and empty houses, you know, if you walk around with sin in your life that's not confessed, or you said yes to Jesus, but you never were disciples, your house is empty. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus tells us that, you know, when you are set free from something, it'll come back to you. So you're vulnerable if you have an open doors and empty houses. Maybe we'll make that available to you on VFN TV. But so it matters to us because we're wrestling against something spiritual. What is the spiritual thing we're wrestling against? Well, I'm beginning to understand that we're wrestling against a Jezebel spirit 101, mm-hmm. the basic Jezebelic spirit, which is not a gender. And we as Christians need to know that in the last days, God will send the spirit of Elijah to prepare the way for the Lord's return. But with the spirit of Elijah, just like we read about in the days of Elijah, there'll be a fierce spirit of Jezebel to battle against those who are preparing the way. And so we as God's people, we want to be able to make sure that we are following God. And we're going to find out more about after this break versus, for example, this Jezebel spirit wants people to follow them for whatever they're, and they actually say God and they use God's name and they say mm-hmm. it's right things, but to follow them. But the spirit of Elijah, those that are moving in the leadership of the Lord, is leading you people to God's kingdom, not their kingdom, to God's way, not their way. And so we're talking about a spiritual aspect of things, and I'm taking a big risk here. I am going to download the update again.
Uh-oh.
On my iPhone as we speak on the air. And if it comes good, you know, but if it doesn't, I'm going to talk about it.
It's still John's fault.
Yeah, it is John's fault. Well, actually, Pat said it's all worked out now.
Right.
I agree.
Works on mine.
Disclaimer. And so we're wrestling against spiritual things, not physical things. It gets really confusing because the spiritual realm manifests itself outside having authority. It has no authority to operate in the realm that we're in, the physical realm, unless we give it our authority. Mm-hmm. And so God has given each man authority to operate on the earth. And so when we sin or walk in darkness, or some people just invite Satan in, mm-hmm. then you've got authority. At that point, so the enemy's using that person. This is how Paul writes a letter to Timothy when he's talking to him. He says, listen, there's some folks out there that, you know, are held captive by Lucifer, mm-hmm. Satan, held captive to do his will. Gently instruct them in hopes that God would grant them repentance. And what you think about that, he's just saying, maybe they will exercise the authority that God has given them and say no to darkness, no to Lucifer, and yes to Jesus and enter into the light.
Right.
But that individual has to make that authoritative decision. Am I going to use the faith that God has given me to go for him or to go for darkness? And so it's a spiritual thing. And so as I was saying right before the break is that, you know, what is the spirit that we're, you know, and it's obviously Lucifer and all of the powers, principalities, and spiritual wickedness. But in the context of that is what manifestation is it? Well, the end time we just talked about. It's going to be before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, that God's going to send Elijah, Malachi 4, 5, and 6. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, which I believe are natural and spiritual, because we'll find out that Jezebel has spiritual children.
Right.
And or else he'll smite the earth with a curse. And so who is this Jezebel spirit? And so he begins to talk about it in the New Testament, in the revelation of Christ, in Revelation chapter 2. We're not talking about the Old Testament. We're talking about the New Testament here. And he says in there, he says that this is the Lord speaking when John is getting this revelation about the church, that aspect of the church, which is Thyatira. And he says in there, he says, to the angel of the church of Thyatira. So he's talking to the church here. Understand that. He's talking to the church. He's not talking to the world. God has never, you know, look at Jesus. Jesus said, come follow me. And some did and some didn't. Very few, if any, did in Nazareth when he was there. And he just moved on.
Right.
One man says, let me first go do this. He says, listen, you know, you're going to follow me. He sat there and said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. And people quit following him. So everybody quit following him except for 12, right?
That's right.
And the 12, he looks at the 12 and he tells them,
right,
how about you guys? You're going to follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's not, you know, he honors somebody's decision. His heart is broken when the rich young ruler walked away. He loved him, but he did walk away because he had a lot of stuff and things. That's and right. He didn't want to lose, give up the stuff for him. And so this is to the church. This is not to the world. And so, which blows this doctrine of once you're in, right?
Yeah.
So 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 18 says, to the angel or the messenger, the angel of the church at Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God. Think about that. These are the words of Jesus,
right.
Son of God, who sits at the right hand of the Father, who gave his life for us, you know, died, was buried and raised. This is him who was worthy of everything. He's talking here.
Yeah.
This is Jesus talking. Yeah.
The red letters.
Yes. Oh, yeah, it is red, too. Yeah. And by the way, if you don't know why it's red, it represents the blood.
That's right.
These are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds. Okay, so he's talking to the church that has some deeds. They've been doing something. Which is, you know, your love. Oh, my goodness. They're just love. They're love. And faith. Oh, wow. Faith, your service, and perseverance, and that you're now doing more than you did at first. I mean, look at that. You are expanding and growing and doing more. But then he actually says right here, he says, nevertheless. It's like, wait a minute. You just gave an awesome resume.
I know, right?
You're reading my resume, and you put my resume down, and then you just said the words nevertheless.
Yeah.
I was like, buts.
That's like a butt, yeah.
It's like a butt. That when somebody's talking to you and they go, it's a beautiful oration of you or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you hear a butt, just do like an etch-a-sketch. Shake everything you just heard right. And hang on.
Or hit delete.
Because the butt is about to speak.
Right.
And whatever's on the other side of the butt, B-U-T, whatever's on the side of that butt, that's what they really mean. Or that's what's really going to happen. Or it doesn't matter what you did on the other side of the butt because this is what you're doing now. And that's what's happening here. You've done all this great stuff. This is this is happening. But then Jesus says this. He says, nevertheless, this is the Son of God. Nevertheless, in other words, but nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate this woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. But think about it. It's not a gender, but he's talking about in the context of us to understand this is somebody who usurped authority. What Jezebel represents is somebody who did not have authority, who got close to authority and manipulated that authority through whatever means necessary to be able to take that authority and to use that authority. That's what that represents.
Right.
It represents somebody who doesn't have authority, but took somebody's authority who actually legitimately had it by God, whether they gave it or not, and now are using it as if it is that person doing it. It's seduced authority.
Right.
That's what that represents. And he says, I have a huge issue with this. Well, hello, Saul Alinsky, right? It's all about, you know, taking authority and moving in this kind of aspect of it. And he says, by her teachings, isn't it interesting, too, that we're going to find out that our president taught for 4 years, Alinsky 101. And so he says, by her teachings, she misleads my servants, which means there's people that are serving God that get misled, which is important.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, these are good guys. They're doing the right thing, but all of a sudden they started hearing these other things being taught and they got misled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and remember that. It's that you don't get angry at people. Get angry at the devil who's holding people captive to do his will and begin to tell them that God loves them and that there's a plan for their life and that to bring them back. So, and then he says, by her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality. I think of the big shift that's taking place. Into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have, when you know about Islam, you know, Islam is that whatever you eat, it has to be, before it's slaughtered, you have to point it towards a Mecca and cut its throat.
Oh, wow.
All the meat has to be sacrificed towards to their God.
Right.
And so when you eat certain meats, there's a lot of meat in the world right now that they face it towards Mecca and cut its throat.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of animals, right. Which is a food sacrificed to idols, which our current leadership's embracing Islam.
Except for pork.
What's that?
Except for pork.
Yeah, except for pork, right. And I thought you meant pork spending. I'm like, no, there's pork spending.
No.
And so he says, I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she was unwilling. One of the attributes of this spirit is that it's just stubborn unwillingness. And so I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who join her organization and her movement. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer in the same bed of suffering intensely unless they repent of her ways. And so we have to repent, which is great. God's actually working with us going, I'm sorry, God. I didn't realize that. They talked about Jesus. They had Jesus pens and those kind of stuff. But I just started following them, and they were actually manipulating authority. And he said, I will strike her children dead. I will strike her children dead. And that's so important. And we're going to finish. I don't know how much time we have left in this first hour. We're going to finish this in the extra hour. We got 1 minute, so just tune into the extra hour so you can hear this. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds. And think about it. This is all about wrong motives in people's hearts, lying through our mouths while our minds are and trying to manipulate people.
Mm-hmm.
So when you deal with Jezebel, when you deal with those techniques of usurping authority, God deals with that. You know that, hey, that manipulation and all that stuff, that Alinsky concept has been dealt with. It matters what's on your heart. It matters what's on your mind. I mean, look at the days of Noah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody was on their heart 24 hours a day to do evil. And he said it'll be the same as the days of Noah when the Lord returns. So it matters. He judges everybody based on what is a sign of Jezebelic spirit. It's like a sign of a presence of a Jezebelic spirit is somebody who has underlying evil motives who are presenting to you like they're angels of light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is right. Lucifer masquerading as an angel of light.
Right.
No wonder his servants are called servants of righteousness. That's what the word of God says.
Right.
And so, but the thing is why are you doing what you're doing? It matters why you're doing what you're doing. It matters who we're following. We're not telling the world what to do. We're just talking about the church. We need to wake up in regards to what are we going to do. It matters who we marry, who we connect to, who we follow. And then he says, now I will say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teachings. That's a very powerful statement, because do not hold to her teachings. It makes you think about what Jesus said in John chapter 8, when he says in verse 31, Jesus said very specifically, if you hold to my teachings, so you got a tug of war. You're going to hold to to this. You have to understand now, it's Lucifer's teachings, but it's being presented to you by somebody who says they hear from God.
Right.
And in this case, it's by somebody who has a Jezebel spirit. And so are you going to hold to Lucifer's teachings, concepts, and dark secrets? Or are you going to hold to Jesus' teachings? Because Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31, he says, if you hold to my teachings, then you're really, I mean, think about that. Yeah, come on. Are you really a Saints fan? You know what I'm saying? I mean, think about it. At some point, you ask the question, because some people are not really.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And in regards to that, Jesus says, this is how I really know whether you're mine or not. Whether you're not if you said a prayer, is do you hold to my teachings? Do you hold to my teachings? That's what he said, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you hold to my teachings, then you'll know the truth. Who's the truth? That's Jesus, right?
Right.
So when you hold to his teaching, Jesus becomes revealed to you, and the truth will set you free.
Mm-hmm.
And he who the truth sets free, who you now know, right?
Right.
Is free indeed. And so you go back here and dealing with this. And this is the book of Revelation. This is New Testament, Old Testament. This is about usurped authority when you hear about a Jezebel-type spirit. And there is no Jezebel without an Ahab.
That's
because
right.
Ahab was the one who actually gave, God gave authority to, mm-hmm. which he regretted anyway later on. But he did give it to him. And yeah. God expected him to operate in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he regretted the day he said he ever made him king. But he says, now I say to those rest of you, this is in Revelation chapter 2:24, to the church of Thyatira, to you who do not hold to, think about it, who do not hold to her teachings and who have not learned rules for radicals, who have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets.
Wow.
You see, what happened was that Saul Alinsky learned the dark secrets of Satan, and he found out what Lucifer found out, that he could convince a third of the angels. I mean, imagine those angels. Like, you're in heaven, dude.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're in heaven in the presence of the creator of the universe, who is, he's not, he doesn't love you. He is love.
Yeah.
The radiating love of him. I mean, he loves you, but it's the, he is love, the awesomeness, and just, and he, it's just, and you allowed Lucifer to try to organize, you, the third of the angels allowed Lucifer to organize you mm-hmm. and get you kicked out of the kingdom.
Yeah.
Ain't that something?
Mm.
And now you're bound in chains.
Forever.
Forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so be careful about being organized. Because the authority there was established by God. As a matter of fact, the authority there is God.
Mm-hmm.
And Romans 13:1-5 says, all authority that is established by God.
That's right.
And those who organized against it, organized against God.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody says, and this is when people, they take hostage authentic, righteous movements who was in the context of the laws. Like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., that he never left the laws. He was just saying, listen, we need to live up to the laws. He was saying, listen, pull out the Constitution. Hey, we're all created equal. We need to all have the same Bill of Civil Rights for all of us.
Exactly.
He wasn't against the law. As a matter of fact, he operated in the context of the law and took great suffrage, the people did, in that day for going within the law in the context of it, and it cost him his life at some point for somebody who was outside the law. But he stayed under the law of God, mm-hmm. and he stayed under the law of the Constitution of the United States. So you cannot take that hostage and say, this is how you do things. No, he did it right
mm-hmm.
and was treated terribly. But Jesus did everything right, and he was treated terribly. So just because we do things right, don't mean we're treated terribly. But you can't say and take what Dr. King did and use that to push evil agenda on folks that's outside the Constitution, outside the law, and outside of God. That's not what Dr. King did.
Mm-mm.
Dr. King said, I'm just holding you to what's on the paper. He's talking about the Constitution.
Right, right.
And if you walk with him, he says, and I'm holding you, if you're going to walk with me, to what's on the paper in the Bible, didn't he?
He sure did.
You can see this on the VFN torch. So he was saying, this is who I am, based on what he's saying. This is who I am. I am a man of God. I love God. I'm dependent on God, and I'm following his ways. Secondly, I'm also an American who believes in the Constitution, and we just need to live up to what our founding fathers put down.
Mm-hmm.
So he's well within the context of now he's not organizing people against authority. He's actually the authority in America is the people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a government by the people and for the people. And so he knew in his heart there was more people in America that had good hearts, that once they knew the injustices that were taking place, mm-hmm. then they would wake up and say, we need to be able to put different folks in office who believe in the Constitution, who believe in God. And he mm-hmm. was right.
Yeah.
Amazingly. I just look forward to meeting him one day in heaven and just talking to him. And just to hear Avita King, you know, Pastor Avita King, hear her talk.
It's awesome.
And I feel like, to me, you know, I just feel like vicariously when you hear her, you're hearing her heart because she loves God.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so in that, so you can't take that and compare it to somebody who's trying to destroy the Constitution and destroy the country. And, you know, it's totally different. That's not what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
We were just being rebuked by God through this apostle who was saying, you guys are unjust in D.C. and you need to change that.
Mm-hmm.
And the First Amendment says you can do that. And so that's not the same thing as what we're seeing today. And so in this Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky, we're finding out that it's a Jezebelic spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have teachings. And so in these teachings, we find out when you search them and search the Word of God, that it matters what's in our heart and our mind. Because when God deals with this spirit, he deals with people's motives and their thoughts. And it's shocking to me. You know, you've seen me. You're a witness, right?
Yeah.
There he goes again.
You
know, there he goes again. But you really think when somebody talks about revival and loving God
him.
And listen, right?
Yeah.
Look, is this right? Look square in my face and go, let's do this. I'm like, okay, right?
Yeah.
And you're going like, oh no.
Here it comes.
But how could that be? The truth is, people can be held captive. And understand that if you're dealing with an Ahab Jezebelic spirit, that person you're talking to, who is called by God to be in a place of authority, if their authority is seduced, they don't have authority to talk to you. So it's going to change.
Yeah.
So don't hold them. Realize that their authority has been usurped, and they first have to go back and consult with the person, man or woman, or committee or organizers who mm-hmm. actually took their authority.
Right. He's pulling their strings.
Yeah. So you got to say, you know, just go back and talk to your wife and get back with me. Or go back and talk to your children, get back to me. Or go back and talk to your board and get to me. Or go back and talk to your political whoever's and talk to me, you know, and come back with an answer. Or just say, you know what? Just send them. We'll just meet with them. It's so much easier. Just go ahead and meet with them. And of course, what happens when you do that, Jezebel's terrified because that she's uncovered.
Yeah.
Because she really thinks that nobody sees the fact that she's running the show.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just blinded and deceived, or he's blinded and deceived. So you just look straight at him like, can they do this? Can your husband come out and play?
Is it okay?
Can they come out and play? Right?
Do you have permission?
Yeah. Right? Is that true?
That's true.
That's true.
That's true.
That's not true. Yeah, right. And so, right?
Yeah. Sad to say.
Moving on. And so it matters because we don't want to be following Jezebel. We don't want to follow Ahab. We want to follow God. We don't want to follow Lucifer's principles. And we're finding out these principles are there. And you either hold to Lucifer's teachings or you hold to Jesus' teachings. You know, and it comes as an angel of light. And so when you think about it, this end time, when you look at Malachi, the prophet Malachi speaks about what's going to be like when Jesus comes back
mm-hmm.
for those people who hold to his teachings. Not the ones who just say they're prophets, right?
Yeah.
Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Chapter 4, verse 5 and 6 says this. Before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. In other words, before it's totally over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is gone. It is over. Before that happens, a dreadful day of the Lord. Where the grapes of wrath are stored. Before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. This song.
Yeah.
God, this is God. Remember Jesus, it was the Son of God talking to the church in Revelation chapter 2 when he says, Son of God said to the church at Thyatira, God will send Elijah, that's the spirit of Elijah, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, which I believe is natural and spiritual because we found out what? Jezebel's got children.
Yeah.
And Jesus has got children. God's got children, children of the light, right? Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And children of darkness, right?
Yep.
coal and cod. No, anyway, it's an abbreviation for children of light. Kind of how I think. Anyway, so God will send Elijah, and he will prepare the way. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, or else he'll smite the earth with a curse. So it's like some optional plan right here. It's not like there's two potential outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
And the one outcome is when people's hearts turn to God our Father, in that, then they have a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
and his body. You know, you can't love him if you don't love his body. You don't even know him if you can't love man.
That's right.
Or if you don't turn and you stay in darkness, he says, or I'll smite the earth with a curse. So the whole earth right now is in when God spoke to me specifically, because we prophesied the Malachi mandate for like 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just driven. I was compelled. His brother Ken used to say, compelled means God's spirit's got you by the scruff of the neck and he's forcing, right?
Yeah.
And we're like, always like prophesying, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we shouted so loud,
mm-hmm.
Malachi prophecy and the spirit of Elijah that the world heard.
Yeah.
You know, and they started naming months after that, and all the way to from America to India, to governors changing their speeches,
mm-hmm.
and just because it was just God was speaking. And but what happened was, you know, God just showed up in his presence showed up in my office, and it was a powerful encounter with God at mm-hmm. one point. And I got to tell you about that in a moment. He showed up just powerfully in my office and shifted us in this Malachi mandate, because we're talking about, or else I'll hit the earth. We're stricken with a curse.
Right.
We're finding out that this Rules for Radicals, the author of it, was actually the employer of our president, and he taught in Organizing 101. And we're going to find out a little bit in a moment that hopefully we get a chance to talk about it, is that Hillary Clinton, the former Secretary of State, wrote her thesis when she graduated from her university. We'll talk more about it.
Mm-hmm.
Is she wrote it on Saul Alinsky.
Wow.
And when her husband got voted as the president, they sealed the document that
really?
Nobody could see it.
Did they?
Yes. But first, let's just find out what was being said on, I saw this on YouTube. They have it there that Fox News is talking about this very thing. So we got to understand Saul Alinsky, Lucifer's dark secrets, when you think about it, for pushing against what God has established. Listen up. This is the O'Reilly, I think, talking.
In the Barack and a Hard Place segment tonight, the name Saul Alinsky keeps popping up in the presidential campaign. He was a far-left social activist based in Chicago who died in 1972, but not before leaving all kinds of strategies for radical Americans. In fact, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton wrote her college thesis on Alinsky and his organizing plan. Now, yesterday, Fox News White House correspondent Ed Henry asked this question.
Newt Gingrich keeps saying on the campaign trail that the president's vision comes from Saul Alinsky, the community organizer. I haven't heard you asked about that.
Look, the president's background as a community organizer is well documented in the president's own books. So his experience in that field obviously contributed to who he is today. But his experience is a broad based one.
With us now, Monica Crowley and Alan Cohen. All right, I don't know what question he was answering there. Look, Saul Alinsky, you know, for people who are involved in political science, and there he is. This guy, you know, is in the great tradition of Karl Marx, Lenin.
Not really.
People, well, he even said he admired those men, okay? He said it in his writings, that he admired them, and that he didn't respect private property rights. He thought that everybody should be guaranteed a certain style of life. And he worked toward that in a very aggressive way. But my question is this. Is it fair for Newt Gingrich to inject Saul Alinsky into the election?
Well, it's fair. I mean, he can say whatever he wants, but, you know, talking about a guy who's been dead for 40 years and trying to tie it to Obama because he wrote a book called Rules for Radicals in 1971,
right.
Therefore Obama's a radical. And we played that game 4 years ago. It didn't seem to get Republicans elected. We played the game trying to tie President Obama to Bill Ayers, to Reverend Wright, to Saul Alinsky. Are we going to refight the 2008 race?
I mean, it didn't work
last time.
But now with President Obama being so devoted to big government, so devoted to income redistribution, income equality, then, see, back then we didn't know what we were getting with the president. All right, so it was harder to make the case that he was a radical or he admired radicals. Now it's a little easier to make that case.
I would disagree that he is married to this idea. I believe the Republicans have misstated that he wants equal outcomes. The president, by the way, the stimulus package, you went through the numbers before, 40% of that were tax cuts. Part of the reason the deficit's gone up so much is 40% of that package were the very thing Republicans and big business say they want. They want tax credits and tax cuts. This isn't big government. This is actually giving tax money back. That's 40% of what the president did in the stimulus package.
But even President Obama would admit, and I think he's going to say it again tonight, that the federal government, in his opinion, has a tremendous role in capitalism, in ensuring an outcome for American workers. And that's what Alinsky wanted.
I think that's a fair... Well, you want to tie him to everything, Alinsky. Alinsky was more of an organizer and a tactical guy that William Buckley said was a genius in organizing, by the way. It was more about tactics to help the disempowered become empowered versus Machiavelli, which is what I think Republicans use to keep the people empowered to keep power. And so we're talking about very different
points
of view.
First of all, let's keep in mind who Saul Alinsky was and how he directly influenced Barack Obama. Saul Alinsky wrote Rules for Radicals in 71 and dedicated it to Lucifer. He was the godfather of the leftist. Yes,
it wasn't Lucifer.
I'm not making it up.
Okay.
Lucifer.
It wasn't Lucifer Schwartz.
No.
It was just Lucifer.
I don't think Lucifer's a Jewish name.
It wasn't Murray Lucifer Schwartz. No. He dedicated it to Lucifer. This is the godfather of the leftist movement. Barack Obama, and it came out of Chicago. Barack Obama, when he got to the University of Chicago, actually taught Alinsky 101 as a course there. So let's not try to say.
Is that what it was called?
It was basically called Alinsky Tactics 101. Barack Obama actually taught. But keep in mind the broader point about Alinsky, and this is why your point about Obama now having a record that we can marry to his philosophy and the tactics of Saul Alinsky, this is where it's so important. Alinsky talked about organizing minorities and other groups to articulate their grievances, mobilize on their grievances,
right,
which the community organizer like Barack Obama helpfully supplied to them so that they would mobilize against the establishment, the haves versus the have-nots.
What's wrong with poor people and people who are not getting what they think they should get? All right, for whatever reason, organizing and having a voice. What's wrong with that?
But remember, this is the very essence of socialism. This is the tactics of Saul Alinsky and Barack Obama are geared toward wealth redistribution. It's all in service of that goal rather than in the free market goal.
Look, Alinsky didn't respect private property. And that is
But that remember, is the Bill, problem, remember, this is what Occupy Wall Street is all about. This is the same revolution.
Okay.
We're talking about
Obama has.
So you think about it. I mean, that's not us saying. This is them talking about it early on Fox News was reporting on it. And so that's what you have. And is, you know, what's the big deal about it? He taught the tactics. So the tactics that we're talking about, which are, like you said, the big deal, it's dedicated to Lucifer.
Right.
You know, and so it's not, we're talking about a Christian perspective. You know, governments come, governments go. The only thing that's forever is the kingdom of God.
That's right.
And so we're not talking from a political perspective. We're just saying as the church, we got to be vigilant and hopeful. And we can only do that in the light in what's going on. And if we follow the teachings and hold to the teachings of someone who says they're doing something for God, but in their heart, their motives are Lucifer's motives to push against established authority and the establishment, as they just said it, then we're going to suffer in the same bed of suffering as Jezebel's going to end up, who didn't repent.
That's right.
And a bed of suffering doesn't sound like a mansion on a gold street. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It doesn't sound good. And he is talking to the church. And so those tactics that he was, that if he's teaching Alinsky's tactics for 4 years, And our president is, that's pretty significant because he's teaching manipulation. He's teaching lying. He's teaching how to, you know, one of the rules are, you know, the first tactic is power is not only what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have.
Mm-hmm.
So you present a front. It's to go out, don't go outside your own personal experiences with your crew because they'll get lost, confused, and everything. But take the ones that you're trying to push against, take the leadership outside of their experiences so that your husband, your parents, your president, your governor, your teacher, your leaders in your communities outside of their experience, so they're confused and they're retreating. And, you know, that's not good.
Mm-mm.
That's not a good tactic. He taught
right.
this tactic. And then, you know, then make your enemy live up to their own rules. Well, we're going to talk about that. But this is things that he was teaching if he's teaching the Alinsky's things. Also, that ridicule is man's most potent weapon. This is what he's teaching, ridicule. I mean, think about it, because it makes sense. This helps you really make sense to what's been happening for the last whatever. It's like, oh, this is Saul Alinsky. This is the spirit of Saul Alinsky.
Right, right.
Who dedicated these techniques and gave a shout out to the first one that did his techniques, which was Lucifer. And now you're understanding why all of a sudden, you know, you're seeing Israel ridiculed. And you're seeing these things, statements happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your people, some of the other rules that your people have short attention span. You have to keep them moving all the time. Go from this problem, this issue, that issue, this issue. They won't stay stuck on anything at one time. Keep the pressure on is one thing you teach. That's the eighth one. The third thing is the threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself, which means don't sit here and say it's over just because the children of Saul Alinsky are saying it's over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ones that are holding to his teachings,
right.
Just realize that, oh, you're just threatening. Because that makes no constitutional sense. And there's enough good people in the country that follow God and follow the Constitution that we just got to walk this thing through and don't say it's over, because the threat, they'll make you think like that you're going to lose your First Amendment rights or your Second Amendment rights, or that the Constitution's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And the threat of that. Develop an operating system was the 10th one, the tactic that he taught. Was reportedly
mm-hmm.
that to keep the pressure on. So in other words, create things in your organization that keeps the pressure on. I don't know. Let's just create this mass government that's going to put this pressure on. And to me, I think it's like a Jehoiakim situation,
right.
Because the church is in rebellion, which means we can leave rebellion and repent, and then God lets up. At least let's help you understand what's going on. And then to push the negatives as hard as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Your price of success, you have to have an alternative. We're finding out all these alternatives are not even alternatives at all. They don't even work. For example, the healthcare thing that just started crashed, but you had to have something out there to be able to organize and to do these kind of things that are going on. And then you have to pick a target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it.
Right.
And that's what's going on. So these are the tactics. And so we're looking at, these are like tactics that are dedicated to, think Lucifer. I mean, think about it. And so what do we do as believers? If we just trust God, you know, we operate in the Constitution of the Bible, no matter what country we're in. That's how we can all connect around the world, because we have one King, mm-hmm. King Jesus.
Yeah.
And Moses said, if you don't go with us, I don't want to go, because the only thing that differentiates us from anybody else is your presence. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference about us. The presence of God is with us. And what happens is, when the church loses the presence of God and the power of God, they have two choices. We have two choices. We can repent, humble ourselves, and turn back to God, where God comes close to us again,
mm-hmm.
and the fullness of his presence is with us, and all that happens because of his awesomeness. Or we can get into forms of physical manipulation and verbal manipulation and all the tactics of Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
We can do things in the flesh.
Right.
We can begin in the spirit and end up in the flesh. But Paul said this, and we're getting to the tactics, I know, but we got to this foundation because we've been talking a lot about this stuff.
Yeah.
That when we have a light perspective, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, so it was with me, brothers and sisters, he's talking to the church, when I came to you, I did not come to you with eloquence of with being real eloquent in the way that he was talking, or human wisdom. He came with no organized effort.
Right.
As I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. Think about it. My message and my preaching were not with wise or even persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith would not be in your ability to organize,
mm-hmm.
or my ability to speak, but in God himself. He says, so that your faith might not rest in human wisdom, and that's human wisdom, but on God's power. Because he tells us in 1 Corinthians 4:20, he says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of all this talk stuff. It's a matter of power,
mm-hmm.
the power of God. And so signs are supposed to be with us and follow us. He tells us in Mark 16:17-20, he says, and these signs, this power, will follow those that believe. In other words, that's what's different about us, is the presence of God, not our ability to manipulate and force our agendas. And what are we doing? We're like following, holding on to the teachings of Lucifer, the teachings, dark secrets of Lucifer, the teachings of Saul Alinsky. We're trying to make it happen ourselves, which is literally organizing against God.
Right.
And he says, this is what he says, and these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. This is Jesus, the Son of God, who's dealt with Thyatira in Revelation chapter 2. He says, and these signs will follow those who believe. You will drive out demons. You will speak in new tongues. You will pick up the snakes, and they won't harm you. You will drink deadly poison, and it won't hurt you either. And you will place your hands on the sick, and they will recover, and they will get well. The power of God, and God worked with them, confirming his word.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens. We preach the gospel. God shows up in the power of God, and people meet God, not our ability or organizations. And it's like, understand the greatest deception in the last day is going to be this Jezebelic deception that people have the ability to force behavior out of people,
mm-hmm.
to hold true authority hostage, to shame it, to criticize it, to ridicule it, to push, to nudge it. But it doesn't matter if Ahab's still the king. Your responsibility before God is to find Ahab and do what Ahab's saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for you to listen to Jezebel now, because she's the dominant one.
Right.
And it's not a gender, but that's the analogy that's being used right there. But when there's no power and there's no presence, the church turns either to God in repentance and humility, seeking the face of God, or we turn to ourselves and the dark secrets of Lucifer. And what we just heard, America just turned to government.
Yeah.
And somebody has the ability to force, I'm going to go outside your representative government and outside your constitution. I'm going to go to the people, and I'm going to organize the people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to force you guys in leadership, your representatives of the people. When somebody says, I'm not going to listen to Congress, they're saying they're not going to listen to you. That's your representative government.
Right.
That's the most, that's the almost the purest representation that we have in our government of you, because there's a whole bunch of them there that represent broken down parts of your state.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to the Senate, that's only two folks. It's only two persons. So when you're battling between the Congress and the Senate, you have two people fighting against multitudes of people.
Lot, yeah.
And you have 35 congressmen in your state, for example, and two senators. So you have 35 saying, this is wrong,
mm-hmm.
which means that represents you really well.
Yeah.
And you have two people in your state going, yeah, but we're being pushed here, nudged here, and manipulated and organized against. And now what do you have? It's like, listen to Congress. Congress mm-hmm. is your representative government. Listen to God over it all, but realize you sent them there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're here in Congress, you're pretty much here in the heart of what's happening in your particular community right there. When we get back from this break, we're going to get into the next tactic, because now we're understanding, oh my goodness, this is like dark secrets of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
That's what was written down. These are like the rule book. And the reason why he dedicated, I believe, to Lucifer is because you can actually manipulate behavior with this. But the problem is, you and the one that you're manipulating, unless the one you're manipulating repents, are going to end up in hell.
Mm.
At least the same bed of suffering as Jezebel. We're so excited to be able to tell you about our new expanded audience. We're going to give a big shout out and hello to the Emerald Coast, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida, as we're bringing in 1.4 million new viewers, because we are going to be on WHBR. That's right. The VFM radio program. Just you're finally going to get a chance to be able to see us Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Of course, we're always going to be here on VFN Radio 24/7, live from 9 to 11 Central Time. But you're going to be able to see us on every day, that day, on WHBR. Find out your listings in the area. You can go to VFNTV.com to find out the times and locations for your area. But it's 2 p.m. Central Time, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida. You'll be able to see us, VFN Radio, taking place. We are so excited about it. You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com. Or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN Radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving, or how you, your business or ministry, can become an underwriter at vfntv.com.